Corinthians is written to the church at Corinth. This is the most carnal church in the Bible. Some of them folks were saved, but boy, after that, they didn't have much going for them. They was loose living. They were babes. They were carnally minded. They weren't spiritually minded. And Paul has to write them and just really fuss them out, trying to straighten them out. Amen? And carnal Christians are just about the worst thing in the world. So I want to talk to you on this thought this morning. Carnal or spiritual? One or the other. That's assuming if you're saved. Now, the truth is, we can back up a few paces and find out that not everybody can be carnal or spiritual because not everybody's saved. If you'll look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." He wanted to talk to them like they were spiritually minded, but said, "Can't do it. Because you've demonstrated, you've manifested, you've made it plain that you're not spiritually minded. So I got to talk to you like I would talk to newborn babes or unsaved people. I got to talk to people where they're living, and you act and live like little babies or carnal people." Verse 2 said, "I fed you with milk and not with meat, for the hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." He said, "I gave you a while to grow up some, and that hadn't worked either." They're not getting off to a good start here. Everything Paul said so far has been negative. This church just has not grown like it ought to grow. These people are not living like they ought to live. And Paul, being the kind of fellow he is not inclined to just let it slide. In our modern society, we find something that's not right, and people are not doing right, and things aren't going the way they ought to. The modern inclination is to just leave it alone because we don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers. We don't want to upset anybody, you know. And if you fuss at them, they'll quit coming. Well, they're not doing anything anyhow, so what the heck? Amen? And so Paul just jumps right in. Verse 3, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not yet carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not yet carnal?" Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty to preach, power to preach. And Lord God, I pray that it help us to say something beneficial and profitable that would help us to be better Christians and to be more Christ-like, to be a better witness and to set a better example, to live a better life for thee. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you'll back up there to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, just a couple of verses there. Look at verse 15, and it said, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." Now, if you take your Bible, look over to Romans chapter 8 for a moment. Romans chapter 8. And I want you to look down at verse 6. Romans 8, 6. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Now, let's take our Bible, flip over, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5 for a minute. Now, I want you to look at these verses just briefly, and then we'll get on with it. But Galatians chapter 5, look down verse 22, thereabouts. Where's that at? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Let's pray. Father, help us. Do we already pray? Already prayed. All right. We don't need to pray anymore. We've prayed enough. Now, I read all those verses simply to show you and so you could see and understand that there are two kinds of Christians. There's a spiritual Christian and there's a carnal Christian. I got to thinking about that, and two is a big number in the Bible, and reflects and affects a lot of things. For example, there are two conditions of all mankind. Every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of this earth, some 6 billion of them, are in one of two conditions. They're either saved or lost. That's the only two there are. There's no middle ground. Amen. You say, well, what about all them Hindus and all them Muslims? They lost. Oh, man. Christianity excludes a lot of folks, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. Amen. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You either trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and get saved, or you're lost. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You either come to God Almighty through Jesus Christ the Son, or you don't come. That means that everybody in this world, every man, woman, boy, and girl on this planet that does not trust Jesus Christ as their Savior is lost and on their way to hell. Now, that's a lot of folks. But that's the only two groups there are. You know why a lot of times folks don't like Christians and other religions don't? Because we believe and we preach that it's Christ or nothing. It's Him and Him alone and no one else. Buddha can't do it. See? The Muslims can't do it. It's either Christ or nothing. And so in this world, on this planet, there are two conditions of men, saved or lost. One or the other. Not only that, there are two types of lost men. Every lost person on the planet falls into one of two categories. Every lost person. You say, well, if they lost, they lost. Yeah, but they're not all the same. There's two kinds of lost people. And you need to understand that because they impact your thinking about people and how you witness to them. There are two kinds of lost people. There are bad lost people, and there are good lost people. Amen? Now, everybody, nobody has any problem if you go down here and hear some old drunkard, whoremongering, reprobate, lying, cheating, stealing, cussing, swearing, blaspheming, obnoxious, rude, uncouth, unkept, reprobate. Everybody says, oh, I know he's lost. Boy, look at him. I mean, he's a bad man. He lies, he cheats, he's unfaithful. You can't depend on him. Everybody looks at the bad lost guy and finds him lost and has no problem with it. They say, boy, I'll tell you what, that fella needs to get saved. Amen. You know what our problem is? Our problem is the good lost people. The good. Not everybody that's lost is a drunkard or a harlot or a whoremonger or any of those. Not all unsaved people take dope. The truth is, there's a lot of really good people that are lost. They are kind-hearted. They are tender-hearted. They are giving. They are compassionate. They're good to their neighbor. They're faithful to their wife. They don't commit adultery. They don't get drunk. They don't beat their kids. They don't kick the dog. They don't burn the cat. I mean, they're good people. You'd like to have them for a neighbor. They've got pretty good morals, and they've got pretty good ethics, and they have a good sense of right and wrong. And you know what folk, you know what Christian folks will say? You know, preacher, they might be saved. I mean, why, it's not by works of righteousness that we've done, but by His mercy. There is none good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. But we get to looking at the way people live, and we say, oh, that's a bad man. I know he's lost. But that's a good woman. He's just as lost as the bad man. If you don't have Christ, you're on your way to hell. People say, well, preacher, I'm just doing the best I can. Well, it won't get you anywhere but hell. You'll end up in a hole in the ground and you'll fall out the bottom of that and end up in hell someday. Amen? But people, we are so screwed up in our thinking, we think that because people are good. So, well, they've been my neighbor for 20 years. I could call them and tell them anything. They give you the shirt right off their back. They'll help you do anything. They're good people. And they really are, compared to the bad people. It's just they're not any good compared to Christ. Wrong comparison, see? We look at each other, as the Bible said, comparing themselves with themselves, they became fools. The comparison is never with us. But we want to look at this one group where we deplore everything they do and everything they stand for. We deplore their dress and their habits and their actions and their language. And we're ready to concede their loss, but we look at this good group, we have a lot harder time with it. Ladies and gentlemen, honest before God, according to that Bible, them good folks are just as lost as them bad folks. Ain't a dime's worth of difference. It's just these are easier to live beside of. Amen? But there's been many a man and a woman mistakenly thought somebody was okay and didn't need to witness to them and didn't need to talk to them because they live a good life. That's got nothing to do with it. There's none righteous, no, not one. And just because they meet some criteria you have for what it means to be good doesn't make them saved. You can be the best person that ever lived, but if you're not washed in the blood of the Lamb, you are lost and on your way to hell. So mark it down. There are two kind of people in the world, saved and lost. And there are two kind of lost people. There are bad lost people and there are good lost people. Amen. And we have a hard time with that part. Amen. Now, having said that, let me give you this. There are two kinds of saved people. In this room this morning, there's only two groups, assuming everybody here is saved. Now, if I ask everybody here, I said, are you saved and going to heaven? Oh, yeah, I'm saved. Oh, yeah, I've been born again. Amen. Oh, preacher, I know the day when I pass from life unto death, and I know that I know that I know that I know I'm saved. I'm a child of King on my way to the city. Everybody in this room this morning would say that. Okay, I'm going to take you at your word. You say, I'm saved. I believe you're saved. Now, let me tell you, there's two kind of people in this room then. If everybody in here is saved, there's two kind of saved people. Some of y'all see where it's going, don't like it already. Two kind of folks in here. You say, what are they? Carnal and spiritual. Carnal and spiritual. So, well, I'm as saved as anybody in here. We're not talking about your salvation. We gave you that. Amen? We just considered that a given. Now we're trying to find out what kind of saved person you are. You a good saved person or a bad saved person? You a spiritual saved person or a carnal saved person? Now, I read y'all them verses so that you could see that there are two groups. I could not write unto you as spiritual. See, why? Because you're doing this and it, are you not yet carnal? Now, he was talking to the church at Corinth. He's talking to the believers. The folks he's talking to are saved. They're saved. You got that? Quit arguing about it. They're saved. That's not the discussion this morning. What our discussion is, now that you're saved, are you spiritual or are you carnal? If the world looks at you, if the church looks at you, do they see a spiritually minded man, a spiritually minded woman, or do they see a carnal, worldly, ungodly saved person? Now, I wish, honest before God, that when you got saved, something magical happened and everybody was good after that. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I mean, and when you got saved, did God just wash the dirt away and push the button and started up your spiritual motor? And boy, from that day forward, all you wanted to do was live for God and live right. But it don't work that way. God left you a free will. Amen? And you know, after you get saved, you decide whether to be live for God or not live for God. You decide to be spiritual or not to be spiritual. You decide to be an example for Christ or a detractor from Christ. You either gather to Him or you scatter from Him. Your life will either lead people to Christ or it will push people away. The carnal push people away from Christ because their life says there's no regeneration here, there's no change here, there's no new creature here. The spiritual says the old man died, there's a new man in his place, the new man lives for God. And your life, your conduct, your action, your speech, your attitude draw people to Him. They see something in your life because of your spirituality that draws them and pulls at them. Because over here there is no peace. Over here there is no contentment. Over here there is no lasting joy. Over here there is fear and apprehension. Over here there is the dread of death and dying and hell. But over here there is peace and tranquility. We have harmony. We are at one with God. And that draws. The more spiritual you are, the more power you have to pull people from the dark to the light. Amen. People say, well, it's my life, and I live it any way I want to. Number one, it's not your life. The Bible said, ye are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. Amen. You're a bond slave. You've been bought and paid for. You do not have the right to live your life any way you want to. You have a right to obey your master. He bought you and he paid for you. Amen. Now that you're saved, you're supposed to start growing and developing and maturing. And the end product is supposed to be a spiritually minded man or woman. It's one thing to be a little carnally minded when you first get saved. But boy, bless God, you ought to outgrow that. And you ought to spend the rest of your Christian life getting rid of that flesh and that carnal nature. I wish there was a button you could push when you got saved and you never would have carnal thoughts anymore. And you wouldn't have to battle with the flesh and the world wouldn't draw and pull at you. But that's not the way it is. God got it fixed so He can find out who really loves Him, who has real spiritual understanding, and who does not. Those who really understand what happened when they got saved, if they understand the spiritual nature of the new birth and the spiritual nature of the new man and what God is trying to do in us, through us, and for us, if you understand that, it helps you and enables you to be more spiritually minded. It helps you to crucify yourself to the world. The less you understand that, the easier it is to be carnally minded, to care about the things of the flesh, to care about this present evil world. Amen? And so a lot of it has to do with your understanding of what God did for you when you got saved. If you really understand what it cost heaven to keep you out of hell, if you really understand what happened to you when you got saved and you became the property of another, if you understand that when you got saved, a nature you never had before was quickened and made alive. If you understand that when you get saved, God has a right to expect certain things from you. If you understood that when you got saved, there are certain things that should be forbidden to you. The more of that you understand, the more likely you are to be spiritually minded. The less of that you understand, the more carnally minded you are. Now, it's not generally very difficult to spot the carnal and the spiritual. They live different kind of lives. They have different kind of values. They want different things, and therefore they do things differently. The carnally minded are always siding with the world. They are constantly siding with their old nature. They have a difficult time understanding spiritual concepts. They cannot seem to free themselves from the lust and the draw of the world. If it looks like it's fun, if it looks like it's pleasurable, if the rest of the world is doing it, then it must be okay, and I want to do it too, and they're going to do it. Now, that's carnally minded. Because you were saved to be an example. You were saved to be a spiritual light. You are, whether you like it or not, an ambassador for Jesus Christ according to the book of Romans. Amen? And that ambassador is supposed to represent him and represent him well. The ambassador puts on hold what he likes and what he wants to do because he has an agenda, he has a mission, he has a commission, and he must fulfill that to represent the one who made him an ambassador. He does not represent himself, he represents another. Therefore, he must do whatever is necessary to make the one who sent him look good. And if you're spiritually minded, that's what you're interested in. You want to make Jesus Christ look good. If you're carnally minded, then you want to enjoy the things that gratify and satisfy the flesh. And you're not particularly interested in how it makes your sponsor look. Your sponsor is Jesus Christ. He's the one who chose you to be an ambassador. And you're not doing your job well, and you're not being the kind of ambassador you should be as long as you live for the pleasures of the flesh. Two types of saved men. Carnal man, he's concerned with the things of this life and the pleasures of this life. He lacks spiritual understanding. Then there's the spiritual man. Now, sometimes spiritual-minded people are an aggravation and a thorn in the flesh. And I'll tell you why. A lot of times, spiritually-minded people are weak and vacillating. Anybody ever read about Jacob over there? Esau and, what's his name? And the one, he was carnal. He said, give me some of that soup you got there. And he said, make your deal. I'll give you the bowl of pottage. I'll give you the bean soup here. It was probably navy bean soup, by the way, with ham. They were backslidden Jews. And he said, give me some of that soup. He said, make your deal. Give me your birthright. Give me your birthright. And you can have all you want. He said, okay, all right. You can have it. No big deal. He wanted the soup. Now, Esau was not spiritually minded. He certainly had no spiritual understanding. He had no idea what he just gave away. Didn't mean squat to him. And he just threw it away. I'm here to tell you there are thousands, maybe millions of Christians today that are just throwing their birthright away. They have no idea what they're sacrificing just so they can have a little fun in this life. He had no idea, and he just sold it. Now, the fellow he sold it to turned out to be a weasel. He didn't have near the character the other guy had. But you know something? He had an eye on the future. He had an eye on the promises that had been made by God. Now, he wasn't much of a fella in a lot of ways, but he was spiritually minded. He wanted what God had. And he was willing to do whatever it took to get it. Amen? And so a lot of times, spiritually minded folks, if you compare them to some of the carnally minded, they're not near as cool. People look at them and say, they're mush balls and you can do this with them. And we disdain them because they're not tough and strong and macho. That's not the point, boys and girls. The point is to please God. To seek what God has. That fella had an eye for the things of God, and the other fella had absolutely no regard for it. Didn't mean squat to him. Now, it's going to come back one of these days and bite him in the butt. He's going to come back one of these days and wish to heaven he hadn't done that. Problem is, too late. And there are going to be a lot of Christians that one of these days they're going to finally wake up and say, you know, I wasted my life running off here and going there, and I never was a witness, and I didn't read, and I didn't study, and I didn't grow spiritually, and I didn't develop, and I didn't mature, and therefore I was a bad example to my children. I was a terrible example to my grandchildren. They saw inconsistencies in me. They saw worldliness in me. They saw me be interested in everything but God and His church. And one of these days that thing will come back and bite you, and you wish to God that you had been more spiritually minded and lived for Jesus Christ, had been an example that would have drawn them and pulled them, if you had been the person they could emulate. Well, man, you're going to be like, well, Esau, too late. Too much water under the bridge. Life is gone. Opportunity is over. Only one life to live will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Two types of saved men, spiritual and carnal. Now, the truth is, there are two choices you can choose. There are two lives you can choose. You see, being spiritual or being carnal is not a calling from God. God doesn't get anybody saved and then cast them in the role of the carnal. God doesn't get somebody saved and then coerce them or force them to be spiritual. If God wanted to do that, He could just save us, remove the old nature, and we'd all been spiritual. But God wants you to grow. God wants you to choose. God wants you to prove. God wants you to demonstrate where your heart is at. God wants you to manifest to the world who it is you love. And so He leaves that old nature. And He leaves the choice up to you. Now, what that means is that if you're saved, we're assuming you're saved. If you're saved, then the choice is yours to be carnal or to be spiritual. You ain't going to blame me for it. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and there are no rewards, and there's no commendation, when you stand there and say, oh, if I had on, listen, I've been preaching the same thing now for over 30 years. I'm here to tell you, it's your decision, and you will give an answer for it. And one of these days you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and every man shall give an account of himself. And every man shall be judged for the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. You know what it means? That means one of these days I'm going to answer for me. For what I did with the gifts God gave me, for what I did with the opportunities He gave me, for the doors He opened, for the opportunities He allowed, I'm going to have to answer for what I did with them. I'm going to have to answer for how I lived my life. I'm going to have to answer for the kind of example I set for my children. I'm going to have to answer to God for the kind of example I set for my grandchildren. I'm going to have to answer to God for the kind of pastor I was. Did I have the courage to preach the word without fear or favor? I'm going to give an account for all that I do. Now, that's well and good, and some of y'all think, I get what I got coming, amen? And I'm sure I will. But I'm going to tell you something. You see Lewis Steele sitting here? He's going to answer for Lewis Steele. Amen. How he lived his life. How he served his Savior. How an example he set for them two little babies. What kind of husband he was. What kind of a preacher he was. Do you know something? You're going to answer to his board. You ain't going to sneak by. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, one of these days, you individually, personally, yourself, going to stand before God and answer for the life you live after He saved you. Were you carnal or were you spiritual? The choice is yours. There's two kind of men in the world, saved and lost. There's two kind of lost men, good ones and bad ones. There's two kind of saved people, carnal and spiritual. And the choice is always yours. You don't have to be carnal. You can be spiritual. You don't have to be spiritual. You can decide to be carnal. But bear this in mind. There is a day of reckoning where you answer for the decisions you made. The choice you made and the life you lived after you got saved, you will personally answer for that. Now, having said all that, there are two futures you can have. Two futures. I'm talking about saved people. You can have a future where you hear your master say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of thy Lord." Amen. You have a future where it said, "The other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, every work, man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. If any man's work abide that he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Yet he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." What does that mean? That means one of these days you're going to stand at the judgment seat, and the life you lived either gets rewarded with gold, silver, and wood, and precious stones, or it goes up in smoke as wood, hay, and stubble. Isn't it going to be an awful thing to have been saved for 25, 30, 40 years and stand there at the judgment seat and see your whole life just go up in smoke? It meant nothing. It profited nobody. It brought no glory to Christ. It was as though you never were. Or you can have "well done." I told somebody one time, they was talking about, "Well, I just want to hear Jesus say, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.'" I said, "Well, what are you well doing?" If you want to hear "well done," you got to do something. You have to done something, right? You don't get a "well done, thou good and faithful servant," if you didn't do something. There's going to be some shocked Christians one of these days at the judgment seat of Christ. They think they got a medal coming because they were saved and didn't drink, smoke, and whore around. You don't get a reward for that. That's normal. That's expected. That's what it's supposed to be. What did you do above and beyond? Amen? That good life you lived where you didn't drink, smoke, cuss, chew, run around with girls that do, oh, that was your benefit. That was good for you. That's the best life there is. Amen? What'd you do for God? Did you lead anybody to Christ? Did you influence anybody for right? Was your life a light set on a hill? Or did you put a tub over your candle? Amen? I'm here to tell you, son, the best life there is the spiritual life. To be carnally minded, remember the verse, now we read this verse, you didn't forget it, did you? To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and what? Peace. Life. People say, "Oh, they're living the good life. Oh, they're going here and they're going there and they're doing this and they're wearing all the mod clothes and they're so cool and blah, blah, blah." Yeah, and all them young people, all them teenagers are looking at you and learning from you and saying, "Well, old brother so-and-so and old sister so-and-so, they go down to King James Hard-Nosed Baptist Church and they do so-and-so. It must be okay." And you turn out the light. You'll turn that light on. If they're going to say, oh, brother so-and-so, oh, sister so-and-so, they go down to King James Baptist Church, won't you do me and you and them and God a favor? Be spiritually minded. Live right, talk right, dress right. Go the right places. Set the right kind of attitude. Right kind of example. Have the right kind of attitude. Say, why? Because them little old boys and girls are watching you over there. That's why. Surely they send somebody to hell through a member of this church. Two futures you can have. You can be carnal, you can be without commendation and without reward, or you can be spiritual and be praised, promoted, and rewarded. Then let me close with this. There are two futures for the lost. Two futures for the lost. Oh, I take that back. There's only one. My math got away from me. There really is just one future for the lost. They're going to die, go straight to hell. Going to die, go straight to hell. And there's nothing me or you or God or anybody else can do to get them out of there. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is a tragedy beyond imagination that anybody is going to die and go to a devil's hell. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and as long as you can imagine, they'll be in pain. Now, it's almost impossible to think of a worse thing than that somebody who is alive and conscious going to die and go to a devil's hell. But I do think there's something that comes close. To think that somebody's going to die and go to hell, and that they ended up there because they were led astray or impressed in the wrong way by the life I lived. That they ended up in hell. They were in a state of flux. They could have been impressed or led to God or from God. And they looked at me as a Christian and took their lead from me and got their example from me, and my example wasn't spiritual. My example was carnal. And I'm going home to glory because I'm a saved carnal man. But they're going to die. And they're going to hell. And they're going to end up down there. And their blood be on my hands. I can't stand that. I'd rather sacrifice some of this world's pleasures. And the world has plenty. And by the way, let me say this. When you talk about sacrificing the world's pleasures and going here and going there and doing this and having that and those kind of things, the fun that the world has, that doesn't mean that the Christians don't have any fun. We just find our joy, we find our pleasure in other things. Amen? I'm not trying to tell you that if you're spiritually minded, you have to live a miserable life. It is the best life there is. Far more rewarding than the carnal life. And then at the judgment, I won't have to hear somebody cast into hell and see them look up and fasten their eyes on my eyes and know that what they're looking at is me because I set an example. I was carnal. I was sold out to the world. And my life and my testimony did not lead them to Jesus Christ. Now, let me leave you with this. We're assuming, and I know that's a dangerous thing. Every time I assume something, I get bit. I'm sure all of y'all hyphenated that word and know how it breaks down. But I'm going to assume this morning that everybody here is saved. I'm going to take it at your word that you're saved and you know you're a child of the King. What I want to know is this, and you have to decide this for yourself. I can't do this for you. Are you living a spiritual life or a carnal life? Are you living your life to draw others to Him, to bring honor and glory to Him, or are you living your life to get all of it out of it you can? You're enjoying yourself and your family and your friends and your activities and blah, blah, blah. And the rest of the world can just go to hell as far as you're concerned. And you salve your conscience by saying, well, I don't drink and I don't smoke and I don't run around. I ain't going to cut it. That ain't going to cut it. The choice is yours. You can be spiritual or carnal. Which are you? Paul wrote the letter to the Corinthians and he said, I cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. What a terrible thing for him to have to say. Let's bow here. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, I know that nobody is as spiritually minded and as spiritually